play the radio. Make sure the television, excuse me, make sure you have the record player on at night.
I'm going to come, I'm going to punch him out. This is
oh,
my
no,
mom.
I would pay with you.
I've been waiting for this. For trespassing on the
trespassing
grounds. I'm going to punch him out and I'm going to go to jail and I'm going to be happy. I'm going to punch him out and I'm going to go to jail and I'm going to be happy.
We'll all be happy, Nancy.
Are those who just try to make this a political issue. Freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my shoulder.
Individuals who are infected through breakthrough infections, namely vaccinated people who ultimately get infected, that they are generally without symptoms or minimally symptomatic. However, it is clear that they are capable of transmitting the infection to uninfected individuals. And the data that they reported indicates that if you look at the level a virus in the nasopharynx of a person who's vaccinated
pharynx
and has a breakthrough infection
pharynx
and compare that to the level of virus in the nasopharynx of
pharynx
an unvaccinated person who's infected, they're essentially equivalent.
Play the radio. Make sure the television, excuse me, make sure you have the record player on at night.
I'm going to go to jail and I'm going to be happy.
It's the feel-good hit of 2021, the podcast that brings you so much
more. That was a long time
more
ago.
Of this and more of that. Just more, more, more.
More.
And it's better than ever.
Better.
Best of all, it's free. And
totally
commercial
free.
Free. It's the news according to me. It even rhymes. With new and improved content, fortified with 27 vitamins and minerals. Or maybe not. Be sure to subscribe, because you probably won't want to miss any of this. But you might. Never before has so much offered so little. It's the podcast that will leave you asking questions. Like, how can I get that hour of my life back? Or, what on earth are these guys talking about? Where else can you find this kind of content other than 90% of the internet? We're here because you're there, and I'm not even sure what that means. Be sure to like and subscribe, because you don't want to be the only one stuck in this. It's the news according to me.
Deep and wide, oh, the D.C. swamp is deep and wide. Deep and wide, deep and wide, oh, the D.C. swamp is deep and wide.
And it's so slimy, oh, so slimy.
It's so slimy, oh, so slimy. And wide, oh, the D.C. swamp is deep and wide. Deep and wide, deep and wide, oh, the D.C. swamp is deep and wide.
Good morning, folks. We are live this morning. It is a live show, as in live, from the worldwide broadcast headquarters, otherwise known as Northern Indiana. We are here. And it is time to start the show. So here we go. Whoa, hello. This is not supposed to be planned. it's a live show, and I'm the only one producing it this morning. So it's just that you're going to get what you get this morning. That's what you're going to get. We have some interesting things to talk about this morning. In the background, you can hear my computer fan running. Because apparently it is overworking a little bit. I don't know what's going on with that thing. Oh, yeah, actually, it might be that hard drive. There's a hard drive back there that might be part of the issue. I've got like a backup hard drive thing I use. And it's, I think that's what might actually be running back there. But I thought it was the fan on my computer. which doesn't normally make any noise. I've got an iMac, fairly recent one. The older ones had a little bit louder fan in them. This one's typically pretty quiet. But I'm pretty sure that's probably the hard drive. As you said, I just started everything up this morning. I've had everything off here at the studio for a while. Everything's fired up, ready to go. I have a few things to talk about. One is what's in my cup this morning. I have an insulated cup of chai this morning with coconut creamer in it. It's very good. Still hot because it's in an insulated, covered cup. In my backup cup, I have less than 20 hours old, a cup of fresh sweet tea, peach sweet tea. The peach is not exactly as flavorful. I made that whole gallon for my family the other night, and I just used the same peaches. I think most of the peach flavor kind of went over to the other the other gallon, but it takes a little while for the peach flavor to kind of come through in a whole gallon. So it might be another day. It might be about perfect. But so I made a fresh batch yesterday. So I have that going for me. I have a few other things to talk about. I'm live on Podbean this morning. I'll be taking the recording of this and putting it on to Castos. I think that it may go out into once you post it as a show, it also goes on to things like Spotify and other things, Apple Podcasts, all those kinds of things. I don't know if this actually goes live on Apple Podcasts. I need to find out some things like that. But I need probably used to use AI to figure those things out. That's what I need to figure out. But this morning we're going to talk about the main topic that I'm going to talk about is going to be AI, and it's artificial intelligence, as it's known in the biz. We call it AI. You know, those of us who are in the know, that are in the inside trackers. They call us the interneters. We call it AI. My qualm with the whole artificial intelligence label, which is I'm fine with the label. It gives it. I think that people need to be realistic about what it actually is. It's synthetic intelligence. It is a programmed intelligence. It's not a something that can become sentient. They're going to claim that it is. At some point, it will become, as I'm seeing it, it's going to become, their claims about AI is going to be that it's going to be this perfect thing that man has created that we can depend on for everything, and that we need to take all of its, because it is going to be the, we're going to get into more of that as we go through the show here. But I think it's just important to realize what it really is, and what its limitations are, as well as what it can be. The capability of what it might do in our society, and its the effect it's going to have on our society. In the meantime, when I first get on here, I didn't have a chance to really promote the show this morning. Sometimes it takes a little while for some other people to show up to listen to the show. So what I want to do is basically just kind of pull back from some things. There's something I want to play this morning. It's kind of funny. It's just kind of a funny way to start the day. This is William Shatner. I've been into voiceover work, and I do a lot of that, which I've been kind of busy with the particular job I have right now. I haven't done as much of it. However, I'm still doing it. Have some clients out there and still do some work for them and stuff, that kind of thing. I haven't been pursuing a whole lot of new work lately, but this was a pretty good year actually for no more than I worked at it. But I'm going to be working on some other things, and as I work in towards retirement, I'm going to be probably doing more things with an online course on how to do voiceover work, as well as just doing more coaching and that kind of thing. But as well also doing voiceover work as it is. Which, any kind of creative art form or anything like that is in jeopardy with the way AI is working. There's a whole lot of content being created out there with AI. The problem is they're using AI as well for a lot of the voiceover work, and specifically that particular side of the industry. However, there's something about having a real voice, and there's too much of the AI generated stuff, I think people, it gets weary with people. They tend to get tired of it. And every individual has kind of their own particular tone, their own cadence, their own everything. And AI starts to generate, everything starts to sound the same. And they don't do things properly. There's a certain box within that they will perform within. You can't do certain things that it doesn't take direction quite as well as a real human being will do. And it's just even the breath noises and those kinds of things. If you listen to an AI generated, and I hear this stuff all the time, I can spot it within the first sentence, typically, if it's AI or not, just because I'm used to the natural side of things, what it should sound like. Even if it's just something like a breath being taken between words or a computer has a hard time saying the word, the letter S in a word or in a sentence. And sometimes you can kind of hear that issue, certain issues and certain inflections, reflections. There are certain things that the computer has a hard time doing. It has a hard time doing numbers sometimes. You just say $1 million. Well, how would you write, depending on how you write that, the AI will just read it the way you wrote it. And sometimes people will put a $1, like a dollar sign and a one, a number one, and then they'll write million after that in their little article. Now, everybody that's listening to it, if you read it, you will read it in your head and you'll realize it's $1 million. You won't read it $1 million, which is the way the AI will read it. It will read it $1 million. So there's some issues with AI itself and how you have to be very careful about how you write things. And it has what's called hallucinations. But we'll talk about more about that later on as well. It'll make stuff up. It just, which is one other thing you have to kind of watch for, is that it will just make things up. It's kind of crazy. So this thing from William Shatner is pretty funny. It's a little thing. We're just going to play it while people gather on the show. People start listening. It's a little bit early. It's about, 9:50? Oh, it's almost 10 o'clock already. Where is my day gone? Almost 10 o'clock. The show will last about an hour, but I want to play this little thing from William Shatner kind of while people are gathering. This is about about a 4-minute clip. It's just something, a little funny thing to play here this morning while we're getting things ready to go. And so I'll be over here enjoying my sweet tea, listening to this and getting a good laugh. And I hope you do the same. Here we go. This is William Shatner. Make sure I got everything in the queue properly this time instead of not knowing what's going on here. Here we go.
This is William Shatner, and I would like to invite you to take a journey with me into the 21st century. So take the next few minutes and listen very closely. You'll be amazed at what you hear. Okay?
Can there be a little more excitement in the beginning?
I love it. Okay. All right.
It sounded like really laid, really super laid back.
Well, I'm saying, okay, I'll try and do that. Let's do take two. This is William Shatner, and I would like to invite you to take a journey with me into the 21st century. So take the next few minutes and listen very closely. Speak up. And maybe you better do it the way you hear it. Do it for me. No, I mean, just go ahead.
This is William Shatner, and I would like to invite you to take a journey with me into the 21st century. So take the next few minutes and listen very closely. You'll be amazed at what you hear.
Is that the way you'd like me to do it? Okay, I'll do it that way. Okay, ready. This is William Shatner, and I would like to invite you to take a journey with me into the 21st century. So take the next few minutes and listen very closely. You'll be amazed at what you hear. Okay, I think that came pretty close.
I'm sorry. Are you making fun of me?
I believe that you'll ask if that was about the way you did it. I wasn't jesting.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know.
I insist. Now, what I want you to do is on pay. Is that satisfactory to you?
Maybe I should have just kept my mouth shut.
No, because if your mouth were open, you'd have popped some pills in them. So do the next paragraph for me so I can get an idea of how you want it. This is page two.
Well, I don't know. I really don't want to, because I think you actually have a better, much better view.
No, I don't think I do. I would like to hear you read the second paragraph so I can do it that way. Let me hear.
Now that I looked at the different things you did, I really liked the first one. But
no, I like it better the way you did. I insist that you show me how to do page two.
Oh,
Really, I mean it. Please, read page, so I can get an idea of what you want. No, I'm going to do it the way you think it should go. No, I am going to do it the way you're reading it. Okay? I know you're here to see that I do it the way the company wants it, so I'm going to do it the way you read it.
Well, but I don't want you to do it.
But you're telling me how you want me to do it.
Well, I'm sorry.
No. I am going to do it your way. No, there's no apology necessary. You know what you want. You know what you want.
No, I don't. I mean,
you come in here and you don't know what you want?
Well, I come in here because I know you're a professional. I mean, and you know how to do it. And I'm sorry I even said anything.
No, I am going to do it the way you want. Every paragraph. And you'll send it back to town, and you'll see whether, you know. I hope it will please everybody else. As long as I'm pleasing you, that's all that matters.
Mr. Shiner, would you please, I don't feel right about doing it, Captain. I really.
Well, no, you felt you wanted something done on the first paragraph. I'm trying to do what you want. Okay, let's lay down the second paragraph.
Okay. Now, William Shatner can get away with that because he's William Shatner. I am not. And I don't know the full story on this. I think this might have actually been on Howard Stern. Actually, I think they may have played this. I don't know. Now, I don't know who released this initially. I don't even know if it's real. But I just think it's funny. As a voiceover artist, this is the kind of thing that you will not, this is the kind of spontaneous thing. Now, my understanding is, I don't know if I'm right about this information or not, the background information on this whole thing. William Shatner, in his prime, he was doing a lot of voiceover work. And of course, he would get paid, just for doing one sit down, one recording set, just the recording session. They would pay him 50 grand or 80 grand, whatever it was, just to do one sit down like that. My understanding was this, I think, was for charity. I think this was something he was doing for a pro bono type thing. He was just doing it for free. And there was a backstory here that I don't know everything about, but this normally you just don't treat a director like that. It's just there are times you want to treat a director like that. I've had a few situations where the director was just absolutely ridiculous. Here's how it works in the voiceover industry. You have a landing page. Typically, I have with a particular service that I use for doing auditions. I have a landing page that people can go to and listen to samples. Now, I can give a link to that landing page from anywhere. I can have my own website, and I can post that same landing page to other for people to listen to my, so I can post all my stuff there. And I pay for that service. So it's a subscription service I pay for yearly. And they send me auditions. They do all this stuff. So I have this landing page where people can go. Well, people have a particular, they choose my, now they might send me an audition or they might just choose me. I might out of the blue, might just send me a message and say, hey, we want you to, we listen to your stuff. We would like for you to do this. We think you'd be perfect for this job with this particular genre. So I might have like five or six different types of samples that I have on there as that they can listen to. And they might say, well, we want the big, bold voice is what they want. So that's one of my audition or one of my samples on my page. So this lady, they call me and they said, we want you to do this job. So they booked it. We did the whole thing. We went through this thing. Well, she wanted this, they wanted a WWF, world, whatever it is, the SmackDown kind of voice. I don't really do that voice, and I just don't have it. I can have that type of voice, but not what she was looking for. She was wanting this big, huge thing going on, and just a great big over the top kind of voice thing. And it's just not me. I can try to do it, but I get into a realm where it sounds like I'm trying to force it too much. I can't just naturally do that like some people can. What's interesting is the people who can do those kinds of voices can't do the guy next door kind of voice very well. They still sound like that, right? That like the let's get ready to roll, kind of those kinds of people. So I just don't do that. And it's now I can. It just doesn't. It's not as good as what, you know. I'm getting beyond my scope, my genre. So what was funny is this lady just kept going and she kept trying to tell me how to do this. Now I wish. Normally, a voiceover artist will not treat. In my opinion, I think William Shatner kind of went a little bit over. He got a little bit pushy with this guy. In my opinion, the guy apologized and he didn't mean to do what he was doing, and he kind of ran himself up a tree. Now, I think that there was more going on with that. Now, with AI, you just type in what you want, and then you give it more direction, and you keep kind of trying to steer it till you get the voice you want, and it does some things. I've not really done much playing around with that part of it. There's certain AI generators, I guess, that do better with some things. Like if you're into programming and you're trying to make applications, I guess there's one that works better than others. If you're writing a book, there's some that work better than others. I think actually, is it Google or Microsoft? The Microsoft AI might work better. My understanding is there's a few different types right now. Google, I think, has a somewhat decent one, I think, for certain things. ChatGPT, of course, has become kind of the market standard just because they've introduced this free version that everybody kind of tinkers with and plays with. And in doing so, they've kind of really hollowed out a huge part of the market. Apple has basically had some issues with their AI department. Now, if Steve Jobs were alive today, if he was able to steer that thing in the right direction, I'm not a big fan of Steve Jobs as a person. One of those people who I wouldn't want to have to work for the guy. I wouldn't want to have to work around the guy. My understanding is he was kind of hard to work with. But again, this is the same thing with our president. Is this, you get somebody who's not necessarily easy to be around, not necessarily easy to work for or with. However, they get things done. I learned about this at an early age in my life. I think I was probably 22 years old, 23 maybe. I worked at an airport. And the airport manager at that time was kind of a, let's just say he was not easy to work with. He ticked off a lot of people. Even the board of aviation didn't like him that well. He was always kind of ruffling everybody's feathers. He never really got, he didn't grease the wheels very well, let's put it that way. There was one particular customer on the field. I used to go around pumping gas and do stuff. I was moving airplanes around, pumping gas. And it's this one guy had a little business, and he had a little airplane at a hangar, and had an airplane. It was a business airplane. It was a fairly high performance airplane. It was single engine, but it was called a Malibu, Piper Malibu. Very expensive airplane, very high tech at the time. It still is considered a high tech airplane. I don't see very many of them around anymore. Now they have turboprop Malibu type things. I don't know what the designation of them is now, even more anymore. But it was a high performance airplane, and he ended up with another. He bought another airplane. It was a little twin engine airplane, and they didn't get along very well. I thought that they were mortal enemies. Now I didn't get along with the boss very well either. He was just kind of a knucklehead. He said he would make some comments occasionally that just kind of anybody working for the guy just realized that he didn't think very much of them. It didn't feel like he thought very much of them. And so we did just, you know, there was this kind of love-hate relationship going on. We worked for the city basically, but he was the manager, even though he owned the FBO, the fixed base operation, which was kind of a weird setup there. So he was our boss, but he was kind of our boss. It was a weird kind of situation. Anyway, I was mentioning some things about, you know, this airport manager's name came up when I was over there helping this guy get this airplane out of his hangar one day. And he had nothing bad to say about the airport manager, which I thought that he would. I didn't think they got along well at all. I mean, I heard some of the phone conversations from the other end, from the office side of things. Then there were some serious disagreements going on between these two guys. And I didn't think he would ever say anything nice about the guy. He refrained from that. Never said anything. I would say never said anything bad about him at all in this conversation I had with him. And it was the one thing that he said, with all of his issues, he did acknowledge that he had issues, but with all of his issues, he has the one thing that he has the tenacity to be able to get things done. So he talked about something that was positive about the person that could actually get things done, which was, I thought was pretty, it set me back a little bit. I was like, okay, so I guess you have to kind of think about some of the positive things about that person. And typically when you find somebody with a personality that is off base, off kilter, a little bit hard to get along with, whatever it is, there are also positive sides of that particular personality type. I know most people with an eidetic memory, I've had to deal with a few people in my careers who have eidetic memories. They have photographic memory, basically. Typically, those kinds of people have a specific set of personality issues. So while they are extremely intelligent in one aspect of their life, and in fact, it's almost ironic. It's almost a very creepy kind of talent that they have. They can tell you what page and paragraph and something's on, a particular piece of information is on. And they have, you know, this. They can pull up stuff, information from a manual or from a, you know, nowadays from a digital text, without even, you know, in a heartbeat. Just like they can have it pulled up while they're telling you what they're looking up, and it's they know exactly where to go to get it. And it's just that that's pretty amazing. Now, having said that, they usually have personality disorders with relational, with regard to relational issues. In other words, they have a hard time relating to people, sometimes in a personal setting or in a corporate setting. There's usually some kind of other side of that is they have a personality disorder. It's in terms of social interaction. And it's rare to find someone who is able to be a kind of a normal person at the same time as, you know, having that talent of being, or that gift, I guess if you want to call it, the gift of having an eidetic memory. So it's a interesting twist on all those things. Now, I don't know how I got down that rabbit hole, but I just want to talk about this whole thing with William Shatner. In the creative arts, that would never happen with an AI client. So let's say you have an AI, you're directing AI to create a, so you type in a script and you say, I need a voice that sounds like William Shatner to do this, so that William Shatner says, you know, you'll hear a voice that'll come through with, it'll sound like William Shatner. And I haven't done any of this yet with an actual AI generator. I know that you have to pay. I haven't ever paid for AI generation of any kind. I'm getting to the point where I think I'm going to do that. One of the reasons I want to do that is possibly I want to test it or try it out with the show and see if I can record a show, give it to the AI generator and say, hey, make the show, you know, more dynamic, make it, you know, do whatever. And just give it some different examples of how would the show sound if an AI director or creator did something with it. And then even possibly put it into an SEO type thing where, so the search engine optimization, and just post the show out there in whatever ways, you know, just any kind of free way that it can go out there and make it, you know, put it out, you know, into a more public area. I don't know, just thoughts of those kinds of things, or how would you post different things in different places, or, you know, pull up, you know, when I'm referring to certain things in the show, pull up, you know, audio that you can insert in certain places. I just how far will it go? How much will it do to produce a show that is actually a little bit more professional, a little bit more polished, and has much, much more of the content, you know, that's just easier to listen to, whatever it is. Just want to experiment with those kinds of things. And I think you have to do a paid version, I think, to do that. Anyway, so I'm curious as to, you know, if you do that with AI and you have an AI voice like that, with it, you don't have to deal with anybody, you know, the AI is not going to come back and, well, why don't you read it for me and tell me how to do it? So then he mocks the guy and says it exactly the way he says it. Now, I want to hear paragraph two now from you. I would never do that. Okay. I'm just not that. Now, maybe if you're William Shatner and you're doing something for free that should have cost $100,000 and you've taken time out of your schedule to do this, and this guy is, and I'm sure that they probably had an example of what they were looking for. And of course not. Now, if I would have been the director, I probably wouldn't have said, add some more energy to it. What I probably would have said was, okay, that'll give us a baseline. Do you mind doing a couple more takes of that just to kind of give us a little bit of variety to work with in terms of timing so that we can work it in with the video, maybe a little faster, maybe one a little faster, one a little slower. Maybe the faster one have a little more energy, the slower one, you know, be even a little bit more laid back, just so we have something to in the can to work with so we can kind of make it work better. Just kind of give us that ABC type thing with each of the takes. That's probably what I would have asked for. That's probably how I would have brought it up. There might have been something going on. I think there was something going on prior to this particular recording. And just, but again, AI will not give you that kind of static. AI won't happen. It won't do that. However, AI also won't give you this kind of entertainment. Even like a podcast, like this podcast, for example, very spontaneous, very off the cuff, very, you never know where I'm going to go. Whereas with an AI client, it is going to give you information on and on and on. It's going to be very dry. You can try to make it more exciting. The problem is it's not going to go. You know where it's going to go. It's going to continue on. I've listened to several AI generated explanations, like teachings and different things like that, where people basically are out there writing articles. What used to be an article, now they're turning into video content or audio content with video slides behind it. And that's, you can tell us what it is. They've typed some articles, they've typed some things out, and then they put that into an AI generator and it generates a YouTube video for them. Now, there are people making some awfully good money doing this as well. And there are people who want to listen to a bedtime story, for example, that maybe lasts 2 hours. And so what people will do is they'll make these stories and they'll type in this whole thing that goes on for 2 hours, or they'll just put something into take from audio for an old story of maybe somebody, some adventure guy that did something or a teaching or whatever they're doing, or even just scripture. They'll post this with this background information. They'll use an AI-generated voice. And people will put that on before they go to bed, and just the whole thing will play for 2 hours. Even after they go to sleep, it's still playing. And they will get, you know, 10,000 hits a day on this stuff, on one video, because people are discovering it or using it or whatever. And they'll make a couple videos, a couple of these audio video type things, and they'll put them out there. Several at a time, and so they may put out one a week or whatever, but they're getting, you know, thousands of hits a day on these, and the longer the video plays, the higher up you are in the algorithms for YouTube or for whatever social media you have it on. Well, they're getting checks for $30,000 or $40,000 a month for some of these guys. That's all they're doing. Now, they've got it down to where they know how to get the reach and the SEO and everything else that's going on once you get there. But at the same time, it's a brilliant way to do this. And I don't see anything intrinsically necessarily morally unethical about doing something with AI. I don't see any kind of, even though here, what I'd like to talk about is where is it going? Because our society is looking for something, looking for an answer, looking for something to draw. They're always kind of looking for counsel. They're always going to. Well, now you can have what's called an AI agent, or you can have an assistant. It's an AI assistant, almost like the Siri type thing. And it can listen to everything you're doing. It can listen to a conversation. Let's say you have a meeting with four, five, six other people. And during this meeting, it recognizes different voices. It can tell, if you have a good enough quality microphone, it will tell you, person one, person two. And you can introduce yourself at the beginning of the meeting. You can say, this is Kevin, I'm person one. This is, Sally, I'm person two, whatever. It will remember that. And as you're going, it will show you the transcript. You can get a transcript of the entire meeting, or you can get a summarization of the entire meeting. You can get action points. It will go through that. They have software now that will work with this stuff, with this AI generation stuff. Some of it just uses ChatGPT in the background, but there are apps within this thing that will analyze the meeting and send an email to each individual to tell them what their action points are, from the highlights from the meeting that pertain to them, things that were said, and things that they need to take action on. It is. It'll put together lists. It'll put together dates. It'll put together other meetings that they're supposed to have. It is absolutely amazing as a tool. Now, the problem becomes that people start to become very dependent on this. There's a guy that's pretty popular. I can't think of his name. He's got a channel. Do I dare try to pull it up? I subscribe to his channel. He has a lot of good content, but at the same time, I typically try to, here's a guy right here. Dan Martell is the guy's name. And he's a very interesting fella. I don't know exactly what his background is or anything about him. All I know is he is extremely savvy with AI. Now, he uses it with his family. He uses it with in his personal life. He uses it for workout. He uses it for creating all kinds of things, which can become a little bit creepy in some ways. When you realize that the conversation that I have with kind of my walk of faith with my God, so I'm constantly in this mode of prayer, communication with God. Now, some people think that prayer only happens when you go in and light a candle and you do your thing at a sanctuary. I'm sorry, you can pray there. But that's not you're missing out, in my opinion, on the relationship you can have with God. And I want to moment by moment basis, where you live in the moment and you have him, kind of in the midst of your relationship and what's everything that's going on. That's I think that's much more. Anyway, yeah. So I don't know how you get through a day without having that kind of relationship. And personally, that's just my opinion. But what's happening is people are looking to fill that void, and they're trying to fill that void with that relationship, that thing that has all the answers and has them right now. And here's the thing about this, the whole thing that's kind of, I guess, creepy in my opinion. And people are always worried about the government. Oh, the government's going to come in and learn. I don't want the government to know anything more about me than they need to. I think I talked about this the other day as well. But you're perfectly happy to pour a bunch of information into, let's say you have an account with, even your Amazon account. Let's say something that you do business with or something you buy from on occasion, or you have a particular group that you're a part of or whatever it is on online, social media, whatever it is. You'll put all your personal information in there. I don't even put my real birthday in my social media stuff. I put a different date in there because sometimes that's a security question. It's part of a security question half the time. I just don't put that information in there. I put a different date on there. I put a consistent different date on almost all of them, but it's the same. So it's one of those things where there's a limit to how much information I will give them and how much correct information I'll give them. It's because we willingly do it. We're all worried about the government having a camera in it. And yet we sit in front of a camera at our computer or a camera on our phone. The audio, we don't want the government listening in on all of our conversations. But there's a phone in your pocket that listens to everything you're doing. Just if you don't believe me, just say, hey, you know who. And it will respond. It had to have been listening to everything you were saying up to that point. Sometimes, even with my watch, especially with my watch, it will occasionally think that I ask it a question and it will start to respond. And some days are better than others with it. Some days it does a lot. Some days it doesn't. So I don't know what it is I'm saying or what it is I'm doing. It's just kind of crazy that way. But so it's you know it's listening all the time. Now, what it's doing with that information is that's where the conspiracy theory begins. So the conspiracy theory is that it's recording everything. Somebody listening to everything you're saying. I don't know. I don't know. There's probably about 100 million Apple watches out there. I don't know that they're keeping track of all that. I'm sure maybe it is because they got this data centers are going to be probably capable of doing all that. I'm sure they could go back and find it. Not that there's a human being listening to everything you're saying. There's not somebody with the headphones on listening to everything you're saying, but there's probably, it's being recorded, and if they wanted to find it, they could go back and find it. Especially with a supercomputer that can find all that information. So you're pouring all this information about yourself is online. Everything's online. And what amazes me is with the AI assistant and that kind of thing, to have it work better, I'll tell you is, well, in order for this to work better, you need to give yourself a profile so it knows what kind of music you like to listen to. So you can say, hey, create a playlist for my workout of this kind of music or that kind of music or, along the genre of whatever. A good workout type thing, and it'll create that for you. Create a playlist of the music you like, and it'll do the whole thing. But it has to know what kind of music you like. It has to know what kind of food you like to eat. You're asking for restaurants. You're asking for whatever. Plan my day. I want to do this, and this. Tell me where to go. I'm going to be in this city at that date. Tell me how to get there. It will do all that stuff for you. Now that's not necessarily the powerful part of AI, but people are using it for that. To plan their lives, to do everything that they're doing. And it's just, they live out this little schedule that the AI planned for them. That's great. And it's a good thing, maybe. At the same time, it's a little creepy. I don't know exactly how best to... to quantify that, I think it's a very... We're tipping on the edge of something that, in my opinion, is going to have a seriously, possibly detrimental effect on society as in general. At some point, we're going to have a situation where we have a completely digitized money system. That money system, of course, is all locked up in the banks and locked up into everything that is out there and everything. If you don't believe this, during the Canadian thing. I think I've played some audio in a couple shows ago of when the truckers were putting on the protest down in Canada, and they was it Ottawa, someplace I can't remember where it was. They ended up shutting off their bank accounts. If they were using their trucks in the protest, they were the government was coming in and saying, "We're going to shut off your bank accounts." Didn't have access to any of their money. Froze their accounts. Anybody who donated to them to help them with their cause to keep them going was also shut off. They had their bank accounts shut off. Don't think for a moment that the political powers that be will not use that kind of thing against you if you oppose them. This is where we're headed. We're in 2025 right now, almost 2026. Think of how far we've gone in the last 20 years. I'm going to type in here something that I think is going to fascinate you. Let's see what we. Why is it doing that? Search whatever's on your mind. I'm not interested. June 29th, 2007, less than 20 years ago. Less than 20 years ago, 19 years ago, 18 and a half, was when the first iPhone was released. You wouldn't know that now, would you? Back then, I had a flip phone, Motorola, junky little thing. And in order to text on that thing, you had to push the number 3 button, you know, several times to get the letter you wanted. Then you had to wait, and then you had to push it again to get the second letter. You know what I'm saying? So the texting was not a thing back then. And certainly taking a picture was about as grainy and pixelated as you could ever imagine. And don't even talk about the video quality of a camera back then. Now, the iPhone had a pretty decent camera. It had this little thing that people learned pretty quickly how to use the keyboard on the iPhone. It didn't take them very long. It was at first everybody was like, "Oh, it's a touch. I can't feel the keys." Look at the BlackBerry, you could. Look at this kind of thing. What's this? Well, yeah. Okay. How much did it cost? Let's find out how much it cost. Well, the first iPhone cost $499. They had a 8 gig model at 8 gigabytes of memory for $600. It was $100 more for the additional. So it's $500 basically for an iPhone back then. And it sold like crazy. It was ridiculous. Now think where we've come from in terms of technology. Think where we've come from now. Looks like we'll find out some people entering the room here. This hello Saba. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it or not. I appreciate it. But so where is society headed with this? And it's just the more AI takes over. Now, they haven't gotten to the point where the supercomputer, there are supercomputers out there, but they're the quantum computer is what I want to say here. How that is going to affect things. No, I'm not reading a book. Actually, I'm writing a book. I'm gonna try to write a book. Anyway, the quantum computer. What they're concerned about is how the quantum computer is going to, with the use of AI, the things that it can do. They're saying that someone who has control of that or who has the ability to get into that will be able to change things in minutes that would have taken them years, like hackers, those kinds of things. They can completely disrupt society very quickly. Of course, now everything's online. Everything's, you know, your bank account, all that stuff is all there. Your property ownership, those kinds of things. These whole lot of things can be affected very quickly. You know, air traffic control, trucking, shipping, all the things that we think about that are basically controlled through online operations could be turned upside down overnight. Literally. So it's a little bit spooky, a little bit scary about where things are headed. Where are we going to be in the next 20 years is my question. You know, we're carrying around in our pockets, we're carrying around more computing power in our little phone than was used in the entire time that the Apollo program, space program was going on. Or it's just, it's a mind-boggling, that was, you know, 50 years ago. It's a mind-boggling thing to think where we're going to be in my lifetime, possibly. Yes, and that gets into a whole other part of that is brain, you know, mind mapping, brain mapping, that kind of thing. Neuralink, if you think of it in that terms, which is just in its infancy right now, but when you think about how we can get to the point where they will also have this thing where you will just be able to think. You won't have to have a phone in your pocket. You're going to get to a point where you can take pictures with your eyes. Seriously, why wouldn't you be able to? Your brain is processing the images that you're looking at. Pictures, movie, all those kinds of things. And you have the ability to tap into that internet right from your brain, just to think about it. You might have a code word that you think or say, or a way to activate it, however it's going to be to activate. I don't know how the thing works. And it actually starts to interact with the internet. Now you're tied into the internet and an AI assistant. And your entire relationship, which would have been with a spiritual sense of having a relationship with God, you're now going to have a relationship with a computer. And I see it as a huge change in our society, especially in the creative arts. And it's the creative arts, in my opinion, are part of the expression of being a human being that I think it transcends what the animals can do. Now, the animals do amazing things. You know, birds build amazing nests, and animals, you know, beavers can build an extremely elaborate dam, or just what all of the things that they are kind of innately able to do out of instinct. But beyond that, the kind of creativity that a human being has is well beyond what the animal kingdom is. And that's the thing that kind of makes us human. And yet we're kind of passing that off to this AI thing to generate all that stuff for us, to create art and to create things. You know, I don't think people will stop painting. I don't think people will stop doing, you know, singing and those kinds of things. However, the songs we sing, and yeah, I think we can actually become vegetables at some point. This is some of the comments that are happening in the room there. It would be very easy for people to become just kind of a host, if you will, for the AI, almost as a robot to be controlled by AI. That's where I see it going. Which I think is going to be the kind of a very strange, deranged kind of way to live. But will we even know it? You know, the kind of thing. I guess the people will resist it to a point, but they've resisted, you know, the idea of government taking over our lives and having all of our information. However, they're willing to give their information up for certain things. Here's what I see happening. At some point, there's going to be a financial crunch or maybe even a famine that hits the land, hits the world, hits the earth, whatever it's going to be. Some kind of a situation where there's a squeeze. This is what I'm just going to call it, a squeeze. Where people are either, you know, they get people to volunteer to a certain extent. Now, here's the other side of this. If your child has a Neuralink and he's able to perform well in school and he's able to outperform everybody else and he can do things, even physically things, because he's able to train exactly perfectly, eat the proper food to perform better in football, doing musically, he can do things that other students can't, and understand things and write things, and just his, you know, his math skills are that, you know, far above everybody else. He's got this huge advantage because he has this Neuralink thing in his head, or he's got this kind of this, what do they call it? It's a transhuman kind of thing, where you've got your kind of set up with this computer thing in your head, and all this access and internet. You're going to outperform everybody else in school. So all the other parents, of course, they're going to, well, my child has to have that. I have to, you know, they have to, you know, my child's going to be left behind here if I don't get this. And it's so they end up in this situation where either you fall behind or you get on board with it and you willingly participate in this thing. I could see that happening. So now we have this other side of the whole aspect of, now it gets to the point where there are people who will resist. There are, you know, say the Amish or whoever they are, for religious reasons, maybe the Catholics, whatever it is. They're going to resist this for religious reasons or for biblical reasons, for, you know, reasons that just go against their conscience. At some point, Think about the what happened with our little vaccination issues, with the mask wearing issues, all the things that were out there. The kind of pressure that society can put on you, especially with social media and social scoring, which they have in China, but they're talking about doing that here as well. You have a social score and you can't access certain things without, you can't even travel if you don't have a good social score over there. Now, let's say we get to that point where, well, if I want to be able to do these things, I have to comply with society. I have to comply with what this thing wants. And if I want to eat, if I want to work, I have to comply. That's where the squeeze comes in. There may be plenty of food out there, but you can't get it because you're not a part of the system. That's where we're headed, in my opinion, as a society. That's what's going to happen. I think that's where it gets scary. AI in and of itself is a tool. It can be used. I think you have to be careful with how far you let it take over your life. But as a tool and as a reference point, as something to make and be creative, great. But know the dangers of where it could lead and just be aware of that. I believe it's inevitable. I don't think there's any stopping this. I think that the only place you're going to stop it is in your own personal life in terms of resistance. But I think society in general as a whole, we're going down the rabbit hole. It's going in that direction. There's not going to be any changing that. Maybe slowing it down, but it is inevitable, in my opinion, that we will head there. Now, having said all of that, I guess I want to, well, it's, I guess I've been coming up on an hour already on the show. Appreciate the interaction, some of the comments that have been made. And appreciate everybody listening and sharing, subscribing, and all those kinds of things that they've done. This will be posted as a regular recorded show. It'll be on Castos. I think it will automatically go out on Podbean. So you'll see it, I think, on Apple iTunes and Spotify and all those other places as a live show. But in the meantime, folks, let me know what you think about what I think. You can call the show or text the show at 812-379-8778. Leave a message or send a text or go to google.com/voice. And type that message in if you're out of the country, if you want to listen in from somewhere else or type in from somewhere else in an international phone. In the meantime, folks, have a Merry Christmas tomorrow. I will not be on the show tomorrow. And have a great day. Great weekend. God bless. See ya.